Let's look at something here together. We've looked at this before. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. If you have your Bibles or if you have your smartphones or if you had whatever, go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Confession is so powerful. Directives that we... What else are you going to use? You're not going to strong arm people. You know, you're not going to go... You can't get your hands physically on a devil. What else are you going to use? That's all you... What you say is the only thing that you're going to be able to get something done. I'm getting a amen from Ralph back there in the back. Oh, it's good to see him out of retirement. No, he wasn't in retirement. He was on injured reserve, but we got him back. He never has retired. Ephesians 6:10 says this, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Page is sticking. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, because of that, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace." Now, I hope you don't think that he's given us scripture here to hunker down in the midst of the attack and just hope that we survive. We are the ones that the evil day's here. Evil day's every day. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. It's just always there's a fight, but we're the ones that are supposed to be taking the fight to the devil. We're the ones taking the fight to the devil. This is not a hunker down. This is not a go get your hurricane package, hunker down, board your windows up, get ready, boy, the evil day's coming. This is what you live by on a continual basis because you're going into warfare. This is your armor. Put your helmet on. Put your bulletproof vest on. You got plenty of ammo. Yes, sir. How's your boots? How's your helmet? How's your night goggles? Everything good? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I can shoot the enemy in the middle of the night. It doesn't matter. We can work it in the day and we can work it in the night. Amen. This is it. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, we're not even going to try to break down and teach on all this. We've taught on all this extensively before in the past. We just want to mention a couple things. The word here in these verses mentions, the word is mentioned, the Bible, Scripture, or the power of the spoken word is mentioned here into two distinct applications. And so we're going to mention that. First, it is mentioned as a shield to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's the first thing that it's mentioned. This is the one that Jesus used in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4. It is, and you remember that when he went into the wilderness? When it says here in Ephesians to take his shield, the word is mentioned here two different ways. It's mentioned in a shield and it's mentioned in a sword. Okay? You got to have both. Jesus, the one is defensive, the one is offensive. You never seen a football team that run out and they just had all defense. They gotta have an offense. You never seen them all, you never any kind of sport. They gotta have an offense and defense. That's sports. But here in real life, you have to have an offense and a defense. It is written, Matthew 4, Luke 4, Jesus in the wilderness, when he meets the devil, and these fiery darts that the word says that you have to have, the word, the shield of faith, to quench. How did Jesus quench the fiery darts? It is written. It is written. It is written. When you're laying in your bed just before you go to sleep and weirdness comes and craziness comes or fear comes or the pain starts or the symptoms come back, don't lay there for hours. Don't lay there for hours and let the devil mess with your mind. Don't get up the next day wore out and tired and, you know, boogled eyes because you begin to speak the word. Well, I don't know any word. Well, that's good. That's good for you to admit that. That's why you need to get into this word. But listen, what if I don't know any? Do you know anything? I mean, you don't. I wouldn't say Mary had a little lamb will do you any much good, but I would say, devil, I don't. I mean, if you're a novice, you just got saved. You don't know nothing. But Jesus wept. That's a short. Devil, I don't know how this applies, but I'm speaking the word. Jesus wept. I refuse you in Jesus' name. Get out of this bedroom. Get out of me. Get out of my body. You're not gonna make me sick. Now you most everybody knows 100 more scriptures than that. But the word is a shield. Thinking is not a shield. Thinking good. Jesus did not think good thoughts. Don't try to set your mind on good thoughts when a devil is attacking your body or attacking your mind. That's not the time to set your mind. That's not the time to do a Philippians, think on good things. That's your meditation time. After you rebuked him, then go ahead and set your mind. I mean, if he's coming at you with naughty thoughts or with thoughts of hatred or fear, then set your mind on. But don't, he don't know what you're thinking anyhow. So it's not going to run him off to sit there or lay there or walk around and just try to think good thoughts. You got to put the word, which is a shield, and run him off with the word. Well, I'm thinking good thoughts. Well, he don't know it. You're not running him off for no. He'll just sit there and smoke a cigarette and stay by your bedside all night. Hallelujah. Just whisper it. If you're married, don't wake up your partner. Hallelujah. Just whisper it. Or go to the bathroom. What you doing, honey? I'd go to the bathroom. Flush something down the toilet. A devil. Hallelujah. But you got to speak to those things. That is the shield of faith. But Jesus was extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy through the spoken word, which is the shield of faith in the attack. The sword of the Spirit, which is also mentioned here, is the word of God. It's my era. Doesn't matter in the Greek. Like Gary says, we're not trying to speak Greek anyway. But it means a knife. The sword means a knife. It means a judicial punishment. I like that. I looked that up in the Greek. It is a judicial punishment. The word of God, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, is not the word logos. It is the word rhema here. It means an utterance. By implication, it means a command or dispute. Yeah, you devil, I'm going to dispute you. I'm going to dispute you right out of this room. I'm going to dispute you. And not only that, I'm going to begin to, wherever I find you in other people's life, when I get the opportunity, and if they invite me into that, if they invite me into the situation, then I've got the authority to run you out. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Listen, he just told me something too. I believe he did. Yes, sir. You'll run into this quite often until you start just cauterizing your mind, if you want to say it that way, to the devil. Anything inside that is, because he'll follow you around, anything that needs to be perfected, like the answer of the tongue or anything that, whatever, when you get ready to pray for somebody, that's about when those things will show up, stand beside you. And you're not smart enough to remember all your faults at that point in time. There's usually a ding-dong devil standing there. They want to divert your attention. You're going to pray for somebody, and you just thought about, man, I remember how mean I was last night or the day before or whatever. That is not the Holy Ghost at that point in time. The Holy Ghost will deal with you when you're in your prayer closet and get all that stuff straightened out. The best you can do is just under your breath, the person doesn't know it, just shut up, devil. Shut up, devil. Just stupid. Shut up. Go. I'm not even going to listen to you. That's not the Holy Ghost. He's wanting to get that person healed. He's not wanting to correct you of your faults at that time. Correction from the Holy Ghost doesn't come during your administrating the power of the Spirit. Correction of the Holy Ghost comes when you are in your prayer closet and you are at the scourging post and fasting. That's when he'll come. In your public ministry, the Holy Ghost is not going to, you're fixing a minister and he's going to come up there and start talking to you. That'll just wilt your confidence. That he doesn't do that. Hallelujah. I think that helps. Amen. One is a shield. This word is two parts. It's a shield and it's a sword. It's a sword when it's spoken. It's a shield when it's spoken. But sometimes it's defensive and sometimes it's offensive, where you're just stepping out and before the devil ever even does anything, you're the one taking the authority. The majority of the body of Christ, if they understand anything, most of them, a lot of them don't, but if they understand anything about the authority of the word and the sword and the shield, most of them are using the word usually from a disposition of shield. Shield, shield, shield. They know very little because of their mentality about using the word as a sword. The sword is the directives of God based on his word to be offensive before the attack. Institute the power of God on earth. Hallelujah. Now Jesus, Matthew, same story, same thing. Out in the wilderness, he uses the word as a shield. But Jesus also used the word, the rhema word, based on the power of his word. But it's not always, the sword's not always, it's written. It is prophetically rhema spoken based on the disposition of the moment by the Holy Spirit. It is words, usually a lot of times the rhema words that were spoken by Jesus were short and sweet, or short and very powerful. Let's go to the other side. Okay, I'm going to go take a nap. Here's the word. Let's go to the other side. Peace, be still. That's the sword of the Spirit. Here's a big one. G-O, go. Here's the sword of the Spirit. Just wiped out one sword of the Spirit swipe. Wiped out 2,000 plus devils. With what? G-O, go. Long prayers by preachers are usually pretentious and powerless. If they pray real long in public, they've been praying real short in private. Glory to God. Most of the men that I've ever seen that walked in power just had very little to say, and they carried a real big stick. Real big. Real big. Go. Oh, they're gone. Come out. He did that several times. Come out. Stretch forth. Can you imagine people today? Just a man had a withered hand. What did he say? He prayed for 30 minutes. Oh, Father, if it be thy will. On and on and on and on. Sometimes when people start praying and they go real long, I'm like, honestly, that's where I need to die, because I want to say shut up. I say, just get on with it and go to the power. Go straight to the power. And you just stretch forth your hand. Just stretch it out. Just stretch it. Stretch it out. That's the sword of the Spirit. Go wash. Come forth. Lazarus, I'm going to stand out here and we're going to have a prayer vigil. Let's all pray. We're going to pray all night and then we're going to pray through the night. We're going to all have a prayer vigil. No, I just said, come out of there, boy. Come forth. Well, I've got this leprosy. If you will, I will. What? You're done. It's done. Now, what do I need to do? I said, I will. That's the sword of the Spirit. Just cut right through all that junk. Hallelujah. Long prayers in private will cause you to be a short-spoken person in public. You have very little to say. And most people are mesmerized by preachers who have a lot to say in public when they have the spotlight to pray. Listen, he can just go on and on and on and on. I'm saying, dear Jesus, all I want to do is eat. Would you please hush? Thou great, omnipotent. I was like, I just want the barbecue, man. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Let's eat. Hallelujah. The question may be from some, how do I institute the sword of the Spirit? Now, let's just talk about the practicalities. Now, I'm going to talk just for a moment on the how-tos and bringing that into your daily life. And I will say this because it's vitally important. This is just me. This is how I do it. But sometimes people say, well, how do you institute the sword of the Spirit without, you know, if he jumps on you, you know, if you get up and you feel depression or fear or anxiety or your body's being attacked, you know you're going to lift up the shield of faith. You're going to speak that. But don't get into a warfare with him where he wears you out. Speak that word and then go on. Hallelujah. I just loved it. Boy, Dave used to cast out devils. I saw him cast out so many devils here, up in Tulsa, other places. You know, just probably up at Crystal River. I've seen him cast out a lot of devils. And he'd just speak a word and then walk off. But what he was saying was not a suggestion. He wasn't suggesting that they come out. He meant it, and he just went on. I've seen when I was growing up, I didn't see it a whole lot. I saw it a few times. People gather around a demon-possessed person or this, that, and the other, and they'd just wear them out because that's the way they thought they'd have to fight. I've seen people say, go get buckets. Let's let them throw up in it and throw those devils out in it. Dave used to speak to them. They may flop and act real crazy. That's unusual. People don't like to see that. I don't like to see it either. It's terrible the way the devil will disgrace a person. Moan, groan, cry out, all kinds of stuff. But if you just know what you're saying, in a little while, they'll be free. They'll be free. The sword of the Spirit works in you. If you are knowing him and knowing his word. Now here's how I would, this is a suggestion concerning confessions and directives in your own life. Like how do you begin to enact or take the sword of the Spirit and go after things? And I'm just going to share my personal, some of my, is it all right if I get personal for just a minute, for a little bit? I will mention this, because I thought it was important usually when you start talking about how to do stuff, I've taught, Homer's taught, we teach you on meditation, we teach you on praying in tongues and worship and confession and fasting, and we give you parameters as far as this is a good way to do it. This is a good way to, like, say, for instance, it'd be good if you got into a book and you read it like 30 or 40 or 50 times and meditated that, and then you begin to use or speak out of that the directives of God in your life. You know, when people call foul, they call foul on the basketball court, foul this, foul that, or penalty flag goes up. When people call foul and say you're legalistic, that's works. You're doing something of works. I wrote this down. I know that all you sitting in here will agree. We have endeavored for 20 plus years. Aren't you glad we've been here a while? Hallelujah. We've really been here 25 years. Officially 22 plus, or 22 in August. It was about 3 years I came over here prior to. So about 25 years old. Isn't that great? Devil hadn't stopped us. He's not going to. We have endeavored for 20 plus years to teach people how to systematically go into God just because they desire to, without the heresy of incorrect of the incorrect sovereignty of God teaching. Okay? There is a sovereignty of God, but we bypassed that through the Word of God or went around it and taught you what true sovereignty was, and that you can go in and have as much of God as you want to just because you want to. Hallelujah. Isn't that great? People have left the church listening to devils. God bless them. Bring them back, Lord. Get them delivered first. Okay. People have left the church listening to devils crying foul, legalism. This is legalism, with questions like, where does it say how many hours you should pray? Where does it say how long you should confess the word? Where does it say how many times you should read any particular book? Well, we don't tell you that either. We don't tell you. Listen, when people cry foul against foundational teachings that are meant as parameters by which the Holy Ghost will tailor your own blueprint, they are cutting off their feet and destroying the path for the word to manifest results. And I have personally, without indictment, with no sense of offense at all towards anyone, I have watched people leave crying legalism, that we're in legalism, and yet they themselves were bound by sickness and emotional difficulties. My thoughts are this, when that happens, how is your liberty of not doing these things working out for you? Is that working pretty good for you? When you're sick and you're depressed and you're filled with fear and yet you're saying we're in legalism? See, you've got to be walking in more liberty than I am if you're going to correct me. Okay? If you're going to correct me and your way's better, then don't talk about, well, I'm sick and I can't, you know, and I'm, okay, well, you know what? You ain't got nothing to offer me. Your way's got to be better, and the proof's got to be in the pudding. However, you know, your walk is, it's got to be better than mine for me to say, okay, I'd like to be part of yours. Okay. My prayer for you as pastor is that your efforts in life, whatever you do, multiply many times over. I pray for all of you, and I pray that God will multiply your efforts many times over, that God and His grace pick up. Now listen, this sounds kind of strange, but listen, this is, I'm talking about all the applications of life, that God pick up half of your weight, whatever you're doing. I mean, I'm using this as an illustration. You're moving boxes, God's with you in it. God's picking up half the other side. Hallelujah. That God multiplies your time. That God's grace multiplies your seeds sown in your work, all for the purpose of your rest and ability to have more time, even in your coming and going, more time to spend in intimacy and in the power of God. Hallelujah. That's part of the umbrella of revival, is that even in busyness, there is a sense of rest, and that I can have intimacy through God, in God, through praying in tongues, even as I'm going, and that God is helping me. God's helping me in all that I do. And I wrote this down. Why wouldn't a businessman or woman not employ the greatest spiritual weapon that we have concerning prosperity? Which is what? Speaking the word. Speaking the word of God. The world doesn't have that luxury. But why in God's name wouldn't, if you're in business, why wouldn't you just start just most every day? I mean, it's all right if you forget, but why wouldn't you just start speaking with 5 minutes of just the Word of God as a sword? Just cutting through things and just, listen, don't wait for, the shield's good. Thank God for the shield. I've had to use the shield, but get up and not with necessarily a consciousness of devils. My consciousness is not on devils. I never think about them except when I'm casting them out of the day or whatever. But just get up and slap the devil right upside the head right to start with. Don't wait for him to come at you. You get up with the Word of God. He was hoping you wouldn't start this again this morning. And then you just get up with the Word of God. I'm just going to speak this. See, the world, we have an advantage because of the anointing. The world must prosper on intelligence or breaks that they call luck or sometimes even illegal activity. You know, if I can figure out how to cheat somebody, I'm going to sell them 1,000 of those. And I told him, this is really how much it costs. It didn't cost half of that much. We're just dishonest. The world has to, a lot of times, work on dishonesty to get rich. But we can get rich, and he really wants people to get rich. The same anointing that raises the dead is the same anointing that will make you rich for the kingdom of God's sake. Same anointing. No two different anointings. We have the advantage of the anointing. The same anointing that raises the dead will cause a person to get rich. Listen to this, for the kingdom of God's sake. Psalms 17:3 says, "Thou hast proved my heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shalt find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the path of the destroyer." Psalms 39, "I said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me." Psalms 141, "I cry unto thee, make haste unto me, give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as the incense, and the lifting up my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the doors of my lips." That's where that scripture there alone would be the one that I would say, "Lord, okay, listen, you're not mad at me, but let me and you have a private conversation. Is there anything concerning my health or my finances or my going forward where I'm shooting myself in the foot?" So set a watch. Set a watch. Lord, help me to know, oh, man, I would have never caught that. Nobody could have even told me that. But the Lord will convict you, okay, if you're negating something in your life. And I would say this, develop a passion, a passion for directives. Praise ye, though, Psalms 149, listen to this. I love this psalm. It says, "Praise ye the Lord, sing unto the Lord a new song and his praise in the congregation of the saints." "Let Israel rejoice in him that made him, and let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name in the dance." Amen. We need some more dancing around here, okay? "Let them sing praise unto him with a timbrel and harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hands." What to do with the sword? He says to execute vengeance upon the heathen. Now, you know God doesn't want you to do anything to anybody. He's talking spiritual things here. "And punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment that's written, this honor hath all his saints. Praise you the Lord." It means you get a privilege, an honor. You know, one of the ways, here's where we're going with the how-tos and ending up with the how-tos. We've got just a little bit more. One of the ways that I start my day, now you don't have to do this, and it's not written that you have to, but it is written, this honor hath all his saints. One of the ways that I start my day, and it's not legalistic, like if I forget it, God, I haven't dropped off God's radar. I'm right where I've always been. But a lot of times I'll start my day among worship, spending time in worship, praying in tongues, and meditation of the Word. But a lot of times when it's real early, getting the day started, I begin to speak to the day. You've heard me talk about this. I begin to speak to the day. How long does it take you? Just about 3 minutes, 2 or 3 minutes. I say in the name of Jesus, I speak blessings into this day. I speak, that's the words of my mouth. That's the sword. 99% of the time, I'm not defending myself against anything. I'm just taking a sword and slicing right in. I say in Jesus' name, I take authority over all of the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and spiritual wickedness, and rulers in high places from having any interference of God's will in my life for this day. Why? Because the Word says, and I will quote this a lot of times, I'll just say this, to bind their kings with chains. Those are kings and nobles with fetters of iron. This honor hath all his saints. people will cry foul. That's legalism. What you're saying, you got to do that or you're not going to. No, no, no. That's an honor. That's a privilege. If I forget it, it's okay. I'm still under his. But it's just like every other confession. What are you going to do? You're going to start saying, well, I can't confess that. That's foul on that. Legalism. Well, then let's just all stop praying because that's legalism. Let's all stop confessing anything. We have an honor to bind their kings. And I know this. Well, then I quote, no weapon formed against thee will prosper. I say to you, no weapon formed against thee will prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, thou shalt. It doesn't say the Lord will condemn. It says thou shalt condemn. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You throw a bunch of that stuff out there, man, you have... They're trying to have breakfast, and you just slapped them upside the head. And they're like, what in the world? Who's down there? My God, all these waves of the Holy Spirit are just pew, pew, pew. And something's happening in the Spirit. Glory be to God. Now, we're getting close to closing, but I'm going to tell you, I'm just sharing personal, like, how do you do it, Pastor? How do you do it? One of the things that I would highly, highly suggest. Now, some of you might not be acclimated towards technology, and I'm not the greatest on it. My wife has to help me in a lot of different things. But whether you have a smartphone, you can just write this down. You don't have to have it. But those of you that have smart devices or a laptop, I would suggest, like say for instance for me, if you don't have an Apple device, and you have another source of technology as far as your phone is concerned or your iPad is concerned or your smart device pad is concerned or notepad, then you'll have to do it in different ways because I don't know what the logic is on some of that. But in here, as far as the iPhone is concerned, I have a notepad. And what I've done is I've just went and copied and pasted a lot of different things that I've added, and I put it in my notes, and then I transferred it over into iCloud into a file folder that says confessions. So however you want to do that, even if you just want to write them down, but my confessions, like, and here's just me, okay? This is not thou shalt, and this is not, you know, this is the way to do it. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying a lot of times people are scratching their head and saying, okay, how are the how-tos? How do you take the sword of the Spirit and make directives to begin to work the work of God for your life? Well, this is how. So it would behoove you, even if you don't have time from your work or whatever, one of the times that you usually have in prayer, if that's an hour long, do this. Use that time to formulate something like this. We've got confessions on the back table. Some of those confessions you can just take and read, or you can put them in. You can go to the website and find, and Gary has them on his website. Some of those confessions are on Gary's website, or you can just take a screenshot of those and just put them on. There's a number of ways to do it. But like say, for instance, I usually do this, my confessions, and it takes me about an hour on my confessions. But I don't do these all every day. Usually it's mainly on Mondays. I don't know why it's worked out Mondays. I'll do the what I told you before about doing that, speaking to the every morning. I'll do that most every morning, okay? What if you forget? It does. I mean, it's okay. I'm not making it a legalism thing, but I'm just having a good time. This honor hath all his saints. What does that mean? It means it's fun to be able to take the authority of God. Praise God. That's an honor. That's not a legalism. It's honor. But these confessions I'll do usually on like Monday, and I'll spend maybe an hour because I could read them a lot faster and it wouldn't take half that time, but I'll really employ all of my emotion, my thoughts, everything inside of it. Like the first one, I'll just give you like the how-tos or just the practicality of the first one in my confession list is healings. It's the PDF, the healing attachment that we got from Gary. It's the scriptures for healing and health. And so I'll just say there's a bunch of them. There's probably, maybe 15, 20, I don't know. But every one of them have a scripture with it. Now, like I said, if you don't want to put this in a folder, a computer folder, You can just make your own folder. This is my blueprint. This is part of my blueprint. This is what I do, but I would highly suggest it to you. So I'll go through the healing scriptures, and I'll speak this over my life. I will serve the Lord my God. He blesses my bread, my water. God himself takes sickness away from me and my house. Now, see, Candy don't even know this, so I'm going to really get personal here. I speak these things over me and her. So she's getting the side blessing on this, okay? Because me and her are one. But I'll often say this: I serve the Lord my God. He blesses my bread and my water. God himself takes away sickness from me and Candy and from our house. My God is the Lord that heals me and Candy. Jesus is the Lord, my healer. Man, there's so many different ones. Right on down to my blood pressure. Our blood pressure is 120 over 80. Our heartbeat is strong and regular, sending pure blood through mine and Candy's body. On and on and on. I have authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me or Candy. In the name of Jesus, I command every sickness, disease, including growths, tumors, arthritis, cancer, heart disease, and every other name that is named, to bow the knee and leave me and Candy forever. Isn't that good? So that's just how-tos. That's just taking the sword of the Spirit. Like, it's one thing to talk about this stuff in church. It's one thing to do it when you get home. That's when it really works. So then I'll go through all those confessions, and then I'll go into my financial. I got my financial confessions behind that. I know I don't have to include Candy on that one. Whatever I get, she gets anyway. So she said that's right. 2 Corinthians 8:9, I know the grace of my Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, that I through his poverty might be rich. On and on and on. I'm speaking the word over my life, the blessings of the Lord, Proverbs, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrows. The wealth of the sinner is laid up for me, Bronk Flint, the righteous. I'm not a slothful man, so I shall abound with blessings. I delight myself in the Lord, and he shall give me the desires of my heart. God is doing exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask, according to the power that works in me. God has given unto me all things that pertain to life and to godliness through the knowledge of him that has called me to glory. On and on and on and on. See, I'm causing my world to come into effect. I'm not waiting. Okay, there's other personal things here. I've got a list of prayer requests I put in here. There's certain people. There's 11 people on here right now. Some of them are fighting physical things. There's one or two on here that are fighting some terminal things, and I speak. See, I don't know about you, but if I don't have a list, you'll be intended on praying for people, but you won't. You get too busy. I have a list, and you know God doesn't want you just praying in tongues. Paul said, I will pray in the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. There's power not only just praying in tongues, but you need to vacillate, pray in tongues part of the day, but pray in the Spirit. Put prayer requests before the Lord, but don't just put prayer requests. Do directives. All these people that are on this list, I'm not asking God to heal them. I hadn't asked God to heal them forever. I just speak and say, some of them need salvation. Some of them's in a mess. So, and I'm just calling them born again, okay? Releasing angels on them. And then there's on and on. Confessions, some more financial confessions concerning the church. I love my scriptural prayers. I've listed all my scriptural prayers. Scriptural prayers start in Ephesians 1, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Then Ephesians 2, 6. All these are scriptural prayers that Paul, the ones that he starts, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of my Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, gives unto me, Bronk Flint, the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of my understanding will be enlightened, that I know what is the hope of my calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. So you go on and on and on, and then chapter 2, you have to look those up. Oh, if you come to me, I'll give you where those scriptures are at. They're scriptural prayers that Paul prayed for the church. You can't, other than praying in tongues, you can't pray a better prayer than the prayer that the Word of God has already prayed for you. That's just perfect. The only thing that matches that is praying in tongues. And Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow the knees of my heart unto the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is now. I pray that he will grant you, I just turn it into me, I pray that God will grant me according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's Ephesians 3. There's several verses in that. Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication, blah, 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 on and on and on. Philippians 1:9. Philippians 4:6, and several scriptures are with this, or verses rather. Colossians 1:9, 10, 11, Colossians 4, Colossians 12, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 Timothy 2. Man, it's all there. And then I'll pray those prayers, those scriptural prayers. I've got a partnership confession that I do for Pastor Dave Roberson. I speak blessings over him, healing to his body. But I have built a blueprint, and we're closing, but I've built a blueprint where I can pray these things and take the sword of the Spirit. That's the how-tos, okay? That's taking it past academics of just teaching in here to say, okay, this is how you are become a war-hardened soldier. You work out. This is your working out. This is your working out. I don't want to do that. Well, you're gonna stay flabby in the spirit. You got to work out, speak the word, and change things. Amen. I don't think we had our blessing or giving tonight. If you have something tonight when you're leaving, please bring it forward. It's a blessing to the church. We'd love for you to be able to give online. Thank you so much. Let's all stand together. Did you get anything? Praise God. I appreciate that. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that we are not left in ignorance, in darkness, as those that are groping about trying to figure out what is the mind of Christ. But we know your mind. We understand your mind. And Lord, you're teaching us continually. We bless now this time of giving. If anyone has anything to give, we pray that you'll speak to their hearts to bring this forward. And Father, we thank you for all your blessings. Bless now your people in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.